Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative, a boutique brand and web design studio. I'm here to help you learn, up-level, and find community in your design business journey. Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday. Hey guys, welcome back to Better the Brand Designer podcast. The guest I have today is a personal friend of mine and past MiniMind student from my group program for designers, the Design MiniMind. And so I'm going to go ahead and just read her bio and then tell you guys a little bit more about our conversation. Miriam Noble is the founder behind Miriam Noble Design, a brand and web design studio catering to the fashion, decor, and service industries. Currently calling Rochester, New York, her home, she shares her heart and home with her loving husband and two beautiful daughters, with one more on the way. Fun fact, Miriam is an avid workoutaholic. From hitting the gym to trying out the latest fitness trends, she's always keeping herself energized and ready to take on new design challenges. We really ran the gamut on our conversation today. We hit so many different types of points, motherhood, boundaries, etc. I'm so excited for you guys to hear my conversation with Miriam. And also a quick reminder that the Design MiniMind program applications are open right now. They close on November 19th. The program does start in the second week of January 2024. And I only offer this program once per year. There's a ton more information in this episode all about it and about Miriam's experience as well. So would love to have you apply if you're curious about what it might look like to work together. Without further ado, here is Miriam. Hey, Miriam, welcome to the podcast. Hi.
Hey, Jen. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yay. Of course. It's always so fun when I get to interview someone that I feel like I just know personally from, I don't want to say real life because we've never met in person, but you know, just talking to you pretty much every day for 6 months during the MiniMind and everything. Like I was telling you guys when we're kind of wrapping things up at the end of the program, like there's no way I'm not becoming like really good friends with every single one of you. So it's just so refreshing to like have a friend and past mentee on the pod.
Yeah. And for me, it's like so surreal because I totally got into branding and everything from the podcast. So this is like such a full circle moment for me. And like way too cool. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, it's always so strange, like in a good way for me to hear that because like, it's still just me like here in my bedroom with my like pillows up against the wall. Hopefully when we move into our house, I'll be able to have a little bit more of a professional setup. But, you know, even when people like reach out and they say like, oh my gosh, like this episode like really changed things for me, or you really helped me with this piece of advice, it's still such like a pinch me moment because it just feels like, oh, I'm just sitting here chatting with my friend Miriam. But then like I forget that people are listening and it's just like it's still so fun. It's just such a small niche podcast. So anyone out there who's been listening for a while or if you're new, welcome. We love you. Thank you for being here with us today. Okay, so let's do our roses and thorns. I will go first with my rose and thorn and then you can go with your rose and thorn. So my rose for this week is our house is almost done. I can't believe I'm saying that. And I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much because anyone who's ever gone through a build or even renovation process knows that there's just always things that pop up. It's like launching a website. There's always going to be bugs in the process and things you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I did almost change my mind a couple times on some countertops and stuff like that. I talked about that in the last episode, but I'm just really, really excited. And they said it should be done in the next couple of weeks. So I'll still have to close, still have to do inspections and everything like that, but definitely got Ryder enrolled in a new school in Waycross and just like starring a bunch of places on Google Maps that I want to go visit and eat at and stuff like that. So I'm just really, really excited to kind of finally settle down. Because we just have never had that.
I feel like it was actually pretty fast. No?
Well, we closed on our loan a year ago. So.
But that's just quick for a build, no? I have no idea.
Well, the foundation was poured earlier this year. So I guess like the build itself was fast, but it just felt like a really long time because there was a lot of just like prep work that had to happen before we even had a foundation. But the house in and of itself has definitely gone up like faster than like what we thought. And, you know, I'm excited that we're going to have it for the holidays too.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. So, I saw on Instagram.
Thank you. Thank you. And then my thorn for this week is that, and you know, we can talk more about this actually in our conversation, is that I had a tough parenting moment last week where Ryder was just like really having lots of meltdowns and definitely in his hitting phase still. And I just really, it wasn't even about him, because that's totally normal, developmentally appropriate behavior for a 3-year-old. But like, I just kind of had this like reckoning with myself where I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I don't know if I'm messing up my kid, like, you know. And so I just had this like all of these doubts creep in, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, just all of these like feelings that you don't really think that you're going to experience when you become a parent. And then you can be so secure in every area of your life, and then having a kid or like managing a toddler's emotions just like makes everything just like melt down for you. So definitely cried a little bit, but I did find this amazing book and membership called Good Inside by Dr. Jackie Kennedy, who
I'm obsessed. Just, I live
by her. Do you know her? Totally. I am reading her book. I bawled my eyes out in the first couple chapters of that book, and TMI, but I was also on my period at the time. So it's just I was a big ball of emotion. But like, she has like a membership, it's like $28 a month, and like all of these little like video resources and scripts. And like, I have never felt more secure in my parenting and like confident. And like, I am doing little like play no phone sessions with my kid, and like, just I feel like he's responding really well. Like the other day we were leaving his great grandparents' house, and usually that would be like a meltdown, but I was like, hey, I can sense that you're feeling really sad right now. Like, it's, I get it. Like, and I used her little, you know, thing where you kind of get down on their level and you say, hey, I get it. I don't like leaving places that I want to leave too. You know, that makes me feel sad. That means that you love the people that you're leaving. And he like stopped in his tracks, the meltdown stopped, and he looked at me and he said, mommy, I'm sad. And I was like, it's okay to feel sad. Everyone feels sad sometimes. It was just like this great like win. I know not everything is going to be perfect like that, but I saw things starting to work, and I was like, okay, this is awesome. So anyways, that was way too long, but that's kind of like my thorn and my bud together all in one. I'm glad that you know about her too.
Oh my gosh, no. She has saved me and my kids, literally. Also, she has a podcast, which is really good. You should totally listen to it.
Ooh, I'm definitely going to listen to it. Her voice just is calming. Like, I feel like she's like my mom. I know. Like, telling me what to do.
Totally. Yeah. Also, she gives like such practical advice. And like, she tells you, when this happens, say this. So it's not like you have to think on the spot and be like, how do I apply this like random piece of information to like my child? It's just so clear. Anyways,
100%.
Moving on.
Okay, your roses and thorns.
So my rose, well, I kind of have like a rose and a bud combined. So my rose is I am working on 2 really exciting projects that I'm hoping to finish up soon. Both interior design clients, which seems to be my new kind of niche, which is funny.
They love you. Interior, when you get one interior design client, once you get one, they're just going to refer you to all of their friends. It's such an interconnected, like creative space, just like brand design. It's really cool.
Yeah. I didn't even like realize how many interior designers there are out there. And then they're all kind of pouring into my inbox.
Yeah. There's so many. And it's like locally based too. So like, there's just not as much competition, I feel like, as there would be between people like us, not me and you, but like brand designers in general, right, who are just like digital native.
So. Totally. Yeah. So that's really exciting. And then my like other rose is I'm on like a total organizing / nesting kick. And I just like, I find like inspiration on Pinterest or Instagram, and I just totally revamp my mudroom, which was like a disaster. And like, making my brain feel like fuzz. So I went to Target and bought like $300 worth of bins and went crazy. Nice. Ordered a label maker and I feel so good.
You're speaking my language. Oh my gosh. I've been pinning on Pinterest like a mad woman, because like the apartment is not organized and I'm not going to like spend money to organize something that we're just going to like move out of. And so when we get into that new house, like Container Store, Target, like come at me, because my kitchen drawers are going to be pristine, pristine, I tell you.
I can't wait to see.
The pantry and the spices. Okay. We're going to do labels for, I'm going to get a Cricut, guys. Like it's going to be scary how organized it is. And then of course my 3-year-old will come and destroy everything, but for like one, you know, hour, maybe everything will look nice.
Yeah. And then my thorn is similar to yours. We're trying to sleep train my 3-year-old. I know that's not typical, but she's just never been sleep trained. We finally hired someone actually to help us, but it's been like a disaster with the two of my girls, like trying to figure out, they share a room. So, you know, you sleep train one and let her scream and then the other one freaks out. So I'm exhausted, but
oh my gosh,
that will be in the past and we'll actually get to the root of the issue and sleep train her and then be able to be much more alive.
It's so hard. Like, I feel like sleep issues have been the hardest thing in my motherhood journey. Like, I mean, I just am a high sleep needs person and I knew that before I had a kid, and it's hard to explain to someone who is not high sleep needs. Like, feeling tired feels like torture to me. And I know that sounds really, really dramatic and like, you know, it is what it is. But like when your kid like has like bedtime issues, like Ryder had gone through probably a 6-month time period where it was like he wouldn't stay in his bed. And I think we might have put him in a big boy bed a little too soon. He was 2.5 when we put him like out of the crib. He's like huge, so he wouldn't fit in his crib anymore. He would just get up out of his bed and come to the door over and over and over and for hours. And it like by the end of the day, you're wiped, right? So that was definitely a big challenge. I think him dropping his nap has really, really helped like the bedtime thing. But if it's like waking up at night, it sounds like for you guys, it's a whole other thing.
Yeah, no, we did a bunch of like schedule readjustments and whatever, praying for good things.
I know. Let's all send sleep to Miriam. And you know, I will remind myself and you that it's a phase. You will get through it. Obviously, you're a veteran mom, of two and a third on the way. So, I'm glad that you guys are doing that now before.
That's the point. So that by the time we have a newborn, you know, at least we don't have like 3 kids up. We'll just have one.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Okay. Well, I am so excited to get our conversation started. This is going to be kind of a catch-all conversation. And the reason that I wanted to bring Miriam onto the podcast is because I feel like you just have such a unique design journey and, you know, the lifestyle that you lead with your faith, the community that you're a part of. I feel like it can be relatable to other people who are, whether they're within a faith community or they have another community that they're wanting to leverage for their business. I'm excited to hear you chat about that. And then of course, a little bit of mom talk. Sorry if you guys are not moms, but you can skip through that type of stuff. But definitely some stuff about balancing motherhood, business, etc. And then we can chat a little bit about what your time was like in the Mini Mind program at the end.
Awesome.
So let's just get started by you giving our listeners just kind of like a brief history of you and your company. So how'd you get started? What led you to where you are today? What type of twists and turns did you take?
Okay. So I have always been super multi-passionate. I've always been running a business or something. And I've had like a ton of different interests. So and not just design and not just creative. Like I thought I would be a doctor and I thought I would be a lawyer and I thought I would be this and that. Anyway, so when I went to university, we call it in Canada where I'm from, but I guess it's the same thing as college here. I don't know. Anyway, so when I went to university, I started my bachelor's in business because, you know, that's something that covers a lot of ground. And I did that for like 2 semesters. And then I actually had my daughter. I moved cities. I moved to New York and I had my first daughter. And right away, there's like a big culture shift between Canadian and American like maternity leave. So here, typically you get like 6 weeks in America, but in Canada, everybody gets a year. Yeah. Everybody gets a year there. And that's just like the culture. Like if you take a year off with your baby, you know, then it's just, that's the given. So it was like a really big like wake up call to me. And I was like, how do I want to raise my kids? Like, do I want to be around or do I want to be a corporate lady mom, and like be balancing that always. And I really took a good look at myself and I realized this isn't for me. I wanted to go into marketing and business and work in the corporate world. So the first year, I still wasn't done school. So the first year of my daughter's life, I was a little bored. So I started like a little illustration business on Instagram where I'd make custom illustrations for people based off their photos. And I was like, this is so much fun. I could do this forever. Like I would just sit in Starbucks, like sketching and drawing. And it was so much fun. When it came to monetizing it, it was definitely a little difficult just because it'd take me hours to make these illustrations. And I was charging like $30 for an illustration. So
we've all been there.
Yeah. So then I realized, you know what, like, whoa, there's a whole like creative world that I don't even know about. So I actually went on to the local community colleges, like list of things that they offer, like classes. And I saw commercial illustration and graphic design. And I was like, these sound really cool. Like I could actually turn like this thing that's so much fun into some kind of career. So I called them and I don't know why I chose graphic design. And I just like went for it. And I remember my husband gave me a pep talk because I would always go from like one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And I couldn't focus on any. I think it's lots of, you had a whole podcast on multi-passionate individuals, right? And
yeah,
that was me. Like I just couldn't like choose one thing and stick to it. And he gave me like a whole pep talk. And it was one of those like turning points in my life. We were driving home from visiting my parents in Toronto. And he's like, Miriam, you're just going to do this and you're going to be the best at it. You're going to wake up early in the morning to practice. You're going to stay up late at night to practice. He's like, I see this for you. You're going to do amazing and you're just going to be the best at it. So
I was so motivated after that. Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah, I remember we went to like the Mac store. I needed a new laptop. I was working off like an old desktop and it just like broke down one day. And we went and I remember being like so nervous to pull the trigger on like a $3,000 MacBook Pro. We were like sitting outside, should I do it? Should I not? And he's like, we're going to do this. So
I love that.
Yeah. So we bought the MacBook and I haven't looked back since. So I went to school, finished school for design, like just a 2 years associate. And then I found the Better Podcast, which I know this is crazy for you, Jen, but yeah, I found the Better Podcast and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. So I started following all these branding designers on Instagram. I'm like, this is what I want to do. And we had like one little brand class in college and I loved it. I like put my heart and soul into it and I'll post it on my stories actually, but like I came up with like a really cool brand and it was just the best thing ever. And I'm like, I can't believe this is a job. So that was really the beginning of it. And then I just started pounding the pavement, getting clients, taking on everything I could. And from there, you know, word of mouth, and I took on everything, like everything. And from there,
I remember those days, you know, for myself too.
So from there, it just grew and I turned like more official and like made myself, I think I made my logo in like an hour, which Jen knows I plan to redo that over mat leave, all my branding, but I literally threw it together because I had a client that I needed to look professional for. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. I just haven't had a second to like redo it yet. And that was the beginning of Miriam Noble Design. And then, yeah, things got a little crazy. And that's when I knew things needed to change just because I was taking on every job. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, if you want to talk about this later.
No, this is fine. No, this is great. Yeah, just all the way up until kind of where you're now. At today. Because I think it's a very relatable story. Like I definitely see myself in this.
Totally. So I had, along the way, I had another kid. And again, I was able to stay home with her. Another one. And I was able to stay home with her. And that was still the beginning. So I was still just freelancing a bit. And then I really started Miriam Noble Design and that was last year, actually the beginning of last year. So I'm in my almost at my end of my second year in business, which is crazy. It, like legit business, not like freelancing or not calling myself like a CEO, you know?
Yeah. Yes. I know that shift for sure.
I just remember at some point last year and I was like, something needs to change. Like I felt really stuck. I was like, I know there's a way to make more money. I know that there's a way for me not to be like running like a chicken with my head off all the time. I would say yes to everything. Like I knew something really had to change when I found myself standing in my kitchen. I just picked my kids up from school and someone asked me to make a flyer for them. And I would charge like $30 for these flyers. And instead of playing with my kids, I was standing on the counter by the counter, like trying to make dinner while telling them to be quiet and like trying to make this flyer. And I'm like, hey, this can't go on. So again, turned to my husband, who is my biggest like cheerleader. And Jen, I had connected with her on Instagram, like, you know, over the years, and she had just launched her Mini Mind. And I remember being like, whoa, this is really cool, but like, it's really expensive. We just bought a house during COVID. So I was like, it's a little like out of reach right now because it's a big investment. And yeah. And then my husband was like, you know what? Like, just do it. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And I realized, I was like, you know what? You're right. Like the best time to make a big change. And like when something needs to change, the only way I'm going to get past this hump is if I invest in myself and, you know, take that leap. So I did. And that brings me to today where things are very different. And that's a little, you know, back end story. I feel like I just went on a whole monologue.
No, that was what I wanted. That's so fantastic. And I remember when we were chatting on Instagram last fall, and I think you said no, you know, like, and I was like, okay, that's totally fine. And you know, we were chatting about it. And of course, I'm always respectful when people need to make financial decisions for their family. But then I remember you came back. It was like 2 days later and you're like, wait, like, I think I'm going to apply. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that you came back. Cause I feel like you and I had been connected for a little while and I just love your design style. And especially after hearing a lot of the, you know, just boundary problems you were having and the profitability just felt really low for the amount of hours you were doing. And with the motherhood aspect, I was like, oh, like I would love to work with her. So I'm just so glad that we got the opportunity to work together. And we can chat a little bit more about kind of your growth within the program at the end of the episode. Because you won the most improved award because your business looks so different now than it did in January of this year when we got started together, which is a testament to the hard work and boundary setting that you did and connection you made, lead generation, all that type of stuff. But before we kind of dive into chatting about that, I would love to shift gears for a second and talk about your faith, your lifestyle, your community. I know that you are Orthodox Jewish. Is that the right way to say that? Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember you and I were chatting about like, oh, you know, I kind of want to break out of this. I feel like people won't pay for what I need. And then these people started coming out of the woodworks when you started charging more and started really respecting your own boundaries and marketing yourself in like a more elevated way, changing your positioning up. So I would love to hear you talk a little bit more about your background, your faith and your lifestyle, and then how you decided and went for it in terms of kind of leveraging that and connecting even more deeply with your community through social media, et cetera, to grow your business.
Yeah. So as Jen said, I'm an Orthodox Jew, which means, you know, I keep Sabbath, certain different modesty laws, just a bunch of different like lifestyle. You could totally DM me if you're interested to know more.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And Miriam's very open. I asked her tons of questions while we were working together.
Please. Anyways, so we have like a very large yet small community. I mean, there's Orthodox Jews and Jews everywhere, but we have something. I remember telling Jen about this, like Jewish geography. Like you meet one person and like they'll know your great uncles, cousins, next door neighbors, babysitter. Like there's always a connection, no matter where you live in the world. Like you'll meet someone from like I don't know, anywhere, and you could like find a connection. So sounds like amazing in terms of networking, right? That's like a networking dream. But I just found that I was stuck in a place where I just thought that the people in my community weren't going to pay the prices that I, you know, there's different like cultural norms. And I just thought that like, you know, in my community, like people didn't have the budgets. We have very large families and, you know, a lot of expenses. So I was like, you know what, people just aren't going to pay what I am hoping to get. I also love working with like young female entrepreneurs in like kind of my age and stage. So 20s to 30s. And that stage is like, you know, a lot of people are trying to buy a house, trying to make it. So growing their families, at least in my community, we typically have our kids also 20s, 30s. So I just thought, you know, no one's gonna really pay what I'm trying, especially the market that I'm trying to attract. And I remember talking to Jen about this, and she's like, yeah, well, we could totally, you know, work on helping you appeal to a different market, whatever. Anyways, throughout the mini mind, actually, we worked a ton on like positioning and really finding our audience and raising our prices and appealing to those kind of people. And that all changed. I realized I just wasn't targeting the right audience who I was trying to get. And the next thing I know is all these young girls, same community as me, coming out and reaching out to me to do their branding. And for me, it's like so powerful because not only do I get to make these beautiful brands, but I'm also getting to make them for people in similar situations than me and, you know, the same community. And I think there's something really really, I just love it. Like, it really lights me up, you know, being able to help people who are going through the same thing as me. I keep saying the same thing. Anyway, so that was really the shift. I think, you know, changing my messaging and changing my, like, how I was appealing to my audience. Does that make sense? Like, targeting
a 100%, different... 100%. The way you were showing up in the world and who you were speaking to. Yeah. I feel like for social media as well, like you started to shift a little bit and like you were asking me like, oh, should I share like how much of my life should I share? And that's a popular question that we get on the pod is like, should I have a separate like, you know, personal account? Like how much is too much? And of course the answer is unique to every single person and what you enjoy. Like, do you like to show up on social media? Do you like to do reels and videos? And I remember you were starting to just post just some fun reels of you working and advice for moms and entrepreneurs. And you were getting so much amazing, like positive feedback from the community of people who are already following you just because you had slightly shifted the way that you were presenting yourself and your services. And that is so powerful. Really? So it was really, really cool to see.
Yeah. And I just found I started posting on like LinkedIn a lot and I started networking with like the people I know already. And that really led me to where I am now. And I think there's something powerful about that, being able to help people in your community, you know? Yes. So I'm loving that. And I don't see that really changing. I mean, I'm open to working with anyone, but my natural network and community really has been showing up and I want to show up for them too. So,
yeah. I think there's something really powerful about owning the values that are important to you as a human being outside of your business, whether that comes from your faith or your life experience or your childhood or your location or your community, whatever that looks like for anyone listening, being bold in that and stepping into that and saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I value. You guys will be so surprised at the people, like you said, that come out of the woodwork that are like, yes, that's what I value too. And, you know, what we do is such an intimate service, right? We're asking people about, hey, what's your passion? Why did you start your business? Like, what does this mean to you? What do you want it to mean to your audience? And when people are making those decisions, particularly if you're selling more high ticket services in the like 4 and 5 figure ranges, people want to make sure that who they're working with and who they're paying is someone that they can really trust. And what better way to establish trust with your audience than truly sharing real values with them and talking about it? I even noticed that when I, you know, kind of made this decision to start talking about my faith more on my business page, because I had always been told, oh, keep business and faith separate. Like, you don't want to rock the boat. Like, you don't want to offend anybody, you know? But I was like, you know what? This is the most important thing in my life. I can't show up authentically without talking about this. And so if any of you guys are out there listening, thinking like, oh, well, I can't talk about that. That's too XYZ, or like my personality is too XYZ. It's like, we both encourage you to like own that and talk about it, because odds are the type of person that's going to want to work with you and going to want to invest higher ticket prices, if that's what you're trying to do, is going to relate to that. And totally, you'll make the sale much easier that way than blending in.
I love that also about your positioning. I thought it was so cool how you blended your faith and your marketing and Instagram. And yeah. I was like, hey, if she could do it, you know, I still don't like, I don't outright, because I think you have on your bio, like faith and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I say something. I think I'm like a believer yeah. and I have a little cross on there. Yeah.
So I still don't like outright do it, but it's not something I'm like trying to hide or anything like that.
Right. When it authentically, and organically comes up, totally. We talk about it. Like yeah. I'm like, I say, oh, and I was at church the other day and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, it, you know, it exactly. doesn't have to be this like, let me take a picture of my Bible right. so you guys can see that I, you know, like, I mean, but yeah. if I feel like I want to do that, then I will do that. You know, it's just right. like, I've had those conversations with a lot of people and some other people in the mini mind as well, where it's like, if you want to talk about it, talk about it. If you don't really feel totally. Like you want to share about it, then don't, you know? And yeah. it's going to look different for every single person.
And I also think there's like a huge level of trust that it builds mm-hmm. with potential clients. They're like, oh, we have the same faith. We have the same values. Like, it takes away a whole level of hesitancy when, you know, mm-hmm. becoming a client of yours. I think we all just naturally yeah. trust people who have those same values as us. So I found that to be really powerful also.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think a big fear that people have about being open with their faith or even something else that differentiates them from other people is that people are going to see that and either judge them or unfollow them or not relate to them. And just kind of the thought process that I went through when I was kind of like, I'm going to share about this is that like, if there was someone in my follow list who was offended or just did not relate to the content that I was sharing for whatever reason, then like, you know, with all of the most positive vibes, like they don't have to follow me and they don't have to work with me, you know, I'm not for everyone. And I don't think everyone should be for everyone. Right. Cause if you're for everyone, you're for no one, the old marketing exactly. saying. And so I kind of let that go and I have never had anyone say anything negative to me about me sharing my faith. And if people quietly unfollow, then I don't notice. And it just strengthens the community that I already do have. Cause I would rather have fewer followers, a smaller audience who really, really cared about me and related to me and wanted to see my content than like tens of thousands of followers of people who were just not that engaged, you know? So totally. That was kind of a big shift in my mindset around social media and being bold in that way.
Yeah.
So totally. let's shift gears a little bit and talk more about motherhood. So you are a mom of two girls, a baby on the way. Congratulations. What has it looked like for you to find a harmony between mom and business life? Because I know you shared that that was the reason why you decided to leave the corporate world or not pursue a career in corporate because you wanted to spend time with your kids. And I know that you and I have had tons of conversations about personal struggles with mom and business. So I would love for you to share as much as you care to about those and kind of how you've worked through those struggles.
Yeah. So listen, the struggle is real and it's constant and I don't see it going away anytime soon. I'm not going to pretend that I've mastered it. Like I have a breakdown every 3 weeks feeling mom guilt and feeling,
okay. I relate.
And I think like,
I feel better now.
I think you can only be split in so many ways. So, you know, something's going to give. And that's why I love how you use the word harmony and not, I know this is your thing. Like you don't use like work-life balance, you use harmony. And it's so, so true. Finding that harmony where, you know, things are going to like ebb and flow. And there's going to be a period where you're feeling really good about being a mom and really good about how you're showing up for your kids. And there's going to be times when you're not feeling that way. So for me personally, definitely right now is more of an ebb. But I know it will lead to a flow. So Dr. Becky, save me.
I know. You're in your flop. We have the flop era and the slay era. Yeah. It's the same thing with motherhood. You know, sometimes yeah. we just have a flop day or a flop week or a flop month. And then a flop's always followed by a slay, right? So
I cannot wait for that slay. So I think something for me that's huge is boundaries, which is something I worked a lot on with Jen. And learning to say no.
We can talk about that too here.
Yeah. And learning really to just say no when the, like, if I am saying yes to this, I'm giving up on this. Everything is, my time is limited, especially as a mom of two, one on the way. Like, I cannot say yes to everything. That's how I used to be. I used to be like, if I don't say yes to this project, like there goes my business. Like that, it's over. They're going to be like, she says no. So yeah. I don't feel that way at all anymore. And I think that when you say no, you're just making space for better things to come along. And now I try to think, let's say I'm going to take on this little project and it's just a little tiny project, but I only have a limited amount of hours in my calendar, which I'm obsessed with, by the way. I live by my Google Calendar because that determines whether I have the time for it or not, you know? And if I'm saying yes to something and it's going to take away time from my family or my kids, like, is it worth it enough for me to do that? And usually the answer is no, honestly. And I'm not perfect about this at all, like by no means, but this is definitely my like mantra that I try to keep in my head and live by. So I found that to be really effective. I want to be there for my kids. I want to have a plate of vegetables waiting for them and fruit and a snack when they get home from school. So that does not happen usually, but I try. So, you know.
Yes, me too. Sometimes no. I am asleep and then he comes home and there's no, yeah. And he's like, mommy, snack. And I'm like, sorry, I'm half asleep.
So that's really been huge. Another thing is like turning my laptop off and work from pickup until bedtime, no matter what. Like, I don't care what's on my mind. I don't care what I have to do. Like, just shut it. It's not work time. Like when you go to the office, you have work hours. So I need to make those boundaries for myself, especially working in my own home, which is hard. And, you know, people call, but I even made my WhatsApp status, like will not respond between 3 and 7. And you know what? I think I heard this on the podcast. Like there's no design emergencies. Like no one's going to die if you don't make their logo for them tomorrow. So,
yep. Clients might disagree. Clients tend to think that it is an emergency, but I that's another Dr. Becky thing. She always says, like, is this tantrum an emergency? Is anyone's safety at risk? No. Okay, we can be calm. And so like I'm like, okay, I feel like I've been given permission.
For sure. Yeah, what else? I think that's really it. But you know, it's really a lifelong struggle.
It's a balance. It's hard.
Totally. Yeah.
It's
I'm doing my best.
I think we all are, and I think in the very first couple chapters of that book, Good Inside, which I should get an Amazon affiliate link because this is a whole ad for just Dr. Becky. We love her. But I think one of the things that just made me like break down so much is – and I'm not going to cry right now, okay? I will not cry.
You can.
Like, she said like – what she said is she's like, you don't have – your kid's not a bad kid. They're a good kid having a hard time. And you're not a bad mom. You're a good mom who's just having a hard time right now. And I'm just like, totally. Oh my gosh, this waterworks, you know, because like the stories that we tell ourselves about what type of parent we are, what type of business owner we are, what type of wife, daughter, friend we are, you know, specifically in the whirlwind tornado that is raising very young children and also growing a business in the way that you and I are. It's hard. Like you said, something is going to give. And that's usually me texting people back or calling people back because I just don't ever do it. Like if you text me, like expect a text maybe a week back, maybe never. And please text me again because I love you and I just saw it and forgot about it.
I'm so happy that I'm not the only one.
No, not at all. And I feel like my other mom friends are like that too. Like with Boxer, it'll be like 3 weeks later. Hey, I'm just coming up from underwater. How's it going? Got my coffee. Kid's sick, but we're great.
The worst is like, you know, when you respond like literally 6 months later, but you answer the question they asked 6 months ago. Yeah. And usually I'm like, should I just not? It's like probably more of a slap in the face to be like, yes, I do have those shoes in a size 8. Like I know. They're like, Miriam, that was 7 months ago.
Is this relevant anymore? Or like borrowing a Tupperware and then just it becomes a part of your household and then you just don't know where it came from. But yeah, it's just you know, with business and stuff, like what I'm doing now is like I'm really, really trying to prioritize, you know, prioritize the different times of the day. Like now is work time, business time, email time, like I want to be doing more, like plug my phone in, like two doors away from me in the bathroom or something and play trucks without, you know, I always tell myself, well, I need music. I need X, Y, Z. Like, you know, what if someone blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I don't need music. I don't need if someone calls me, because all the people that are most important are right here, you know? And so I don't know. I feel like all the conversations I've had with you specifically in Voxer have just been so relatable. And so like, I'm just so grateful for just you pulling back the curtain and being like candid about the struggle, mm-hmm. because it can feel a little hard or just kind of not accepted to complain about having like a beautiful family and like working from home. And, you know, we are living the dream, you know, and I tell myself that all the time, but that doesn't mean that it's a walk in the park at all. And in fact, it does come with its own set of unique challenges. So if anyone out there is just really in a flop era with their business and their motherhood, to use the language of the kids these days, it's okay, because we're all right there in the trenches with you. And some days are good, some days are hard, some days are bad, some days are just a really big mixture of emotions. And I go to bed at the end of the day thinking, was today a good day or was today a bad day? I have no idea. Like, and I just pass out and I start it all over again. It's just a unique, fun experience, but it's all so, so, so worth it. I feel more fulfilled than I ever have when I go to bed at the end of the day.
Amazing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Another thing though, as a mother, I have like times when I'm like, I just want to quit and I just want to be a stay-at-home mom. I want to like make pies and I want my house to smell like apples and I want to like just like do sensory activities all afternoon with my kids. But there's a part of me, a huge part, that also has so much to give and so much creativity, and I can't ignore that part of myself. And whenever I do, whenever I fall into times where I do ignore that part of myself, like, that's not good for my kids either. And that's not good for my family. They need to see a mother who is, you know, passionate about things and working hard and using my talents, like, to help the world and to, you know, just be the best person I could be. So I think that's also important for moms to realize, is that, you know, doing things for yourself and doing, like, running your own business and flourishing is, yeah, the balance is impossible and super, super hard, but it's also so important. And you don't want to just disappear because you ignore that whole aspect of yourself. So I remind myself that also. I'm like, you know, some days I want to quit, but I'm not going to be happy if I quit also, you know?
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself. I completely, completely agree.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up our conversation by kind of talking about, I think you kind of answered this next question about where you were at in your life and business prior to signing up for the Mini Mind program. What were you nervous about when signing up, and what made you pull the trigger? And then we can talk a little bit more about your experience and the changes that your business has gone through.
Yeah. So I think I was mostly nervous financially. We had just bought a house, and I live in the hottest postal code area in the US. Mm-hmm. You can look it up if you're curious where I live. and it was like by COVID, so prices skyrocketed and it was crazy. So we definitely bought something, you know, a little bit out of what we were hoping to find. And I went from like not needing to work to needing to work. So my income was actually like important at that point. And I was like, oh my gosh, investing in myself, like, is now the right time? And I think that's what pushed me to be like, yeah, it is the right time. Cause if something doesn't change, I'm going to be in this like suffocating time period forever. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also why my husband encouraged me. And, you know, we tell our clients all the time to invest in us. And I'm like, you know what? Time to pull the trigger. So that's where I was. And that's why I was really nervous to join. I don't think I did not doubt that it would be an amazing program at all, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a very normal like hesitancy to have. And I'm happy that you had that, because I only want people, whether it's joining my program or joining a different program or whatever that is, to make an investment that you feel good about and that you feel excited about. And that's not going to put financial strain on your family. And that's why it's important to understand about what type of return on investment you're going to get when you're making an investment in a coaching program, mentorship, working with someone one-to-one, buying a course, et cetera. And my Mini Mind sales page does go over a lot of the return on investment that you guys and the first cohort got, in addition to the one-to-one mentorship students that I've had in the past. But I would love to hear a little bit more, or for you to share a little bit more about how your time in the program changed your business in terms of revenue, how it helped you, you know, kind of change up your schedule, your life, and like kind of what your most favorite part of the program was.
Yeah, it really was life-changing. So I'm so excited to share, and I hope that, you know, it will motivate people to take the plunge if they're nervous. I would say the three main things that I really, really gained were, number one, boundaries. Number two, getting rid of a lot of limiting beliefs that I had about business mm-hmm. and money and all that. And number three was financial, for sure. So we could go through each yeah. of them if you're interested.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. boundaries was huge. I literally would just like drop everything to respond to clients. I had clients who would call me late at night. I had clients who would expect immediate. And I don't know if this is because I didn't set up a boundary to start with, or it was just like a red flag client to start with. But I had clients who like wanted things instantaneously, and I just had no boundaries. You know, I'd take calls anytime. I'd say yes to everything. I wouldn't listen to my, like, you know, my spidey senses when it came to taking on clients and business stuff spidey like that. Senses.
I love it.
And I think that was the first thing I worked on in the program, was like dropping those clients, which was scary. Even though when we broke it down together, I'm like, how much are they really paying me a month? Like, not enough to make any right. of this worth it. I remember like voxering mm-hmm. Jen on the couch, like crying, like, I like a whole situation that happened and how I was like, I can't do this anymore, basically, in a more professional way to the client. Yeah. And I felt free. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't feel like the world is falling apart. I feel amazing. Like, now I have time for better things. So that was number one, boundaries. Number two, limiting beliefs. I used to have this fear. We actually had this, I found this the most powerful thing ever, and I plan to do it every single year. Where you had us write our limiting beliefs and then rewrite them in mm-hmm. a way that, like, you know, redoing them so that they're yeah. not limiting anymore. and I, one of them was like, if I say no, or I don't do this project, then I'm going to lose money and I'm not going to have that. Like, I'm just not going to have money or whatever. I'm not going to have any mm-hmm. new clients. And I think I rewrote that saying, you know, when I say no to something, I'm making room for something better. And that's like my mantra now. Is that how you pronounce that word, by the way? Sometimes I say things like
mantra.
Mantra. You
know, I don't think there's, yeah.
So
I don't know.
I literally, every time I send out a proposal, every time I send out anything and I'm waiting for a response, I'm just reminding myself, like, first of all, like, God's in charge and I have all the income I'm meant to have is coming to me, and all I have to do is my best. But also, if it's a no, then it's just because there's something better coming. And I have found that to be true this entire year, again and again and again and again. And it's so crazy how that mindset shift changes everything. And it's also so, so powerful because you can use it in every aspect of life, not just business. But mm-hmm. that was huge. So thank you for that. and then the last thing, finances, is, you know, really, we focused a ton on creating your like offer, what do you call it? Offer suite.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really just, I don't offer everything anymore. No, I will not make your one business card. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, no, it's amazing to do that if that's what you want to do. But in order to mm-hmm. become more profitable for me, it made more sense to create branding packages and different, you know, much more organized. Like, I only offer these five different packages. I could like rearrange them and, you know, drag and drop to make it work for each client customized. But doing that, I was able to raise my rates. I was able to have much more confidence on calls and really just start seeing way higher profit on each project that I took on. And yeah, that's where we are now, you know, still ironing everything out and always adjusting, but that was huge.
Yeah. I remember, you telling me that you're like, hey, here's this proposal. This is what I'm thinking about charging. And I was like, what if you added $1,000 to that? And you were like, oh, I don't know. Like, but then you like did it. And then they ended up choosing, I think, one of the like middle tier packages. And we both like, I just remember that moment, like celebrating with you. I don't remember if it was the interior design client or who it was, but you know, she was like, yeah, sounds good. And like, I feel like that was that first moment that you had had. Cause I remember that first moment for myself and my business where I didn't get pricing pushback on something that I felt was like more expensive than I had ever asked for. And ever since that moment, I feel like for you, and it was the same way for me, those prices became normal to you. And I think that for a lot of designers out there, charging, you know, even charging $4,000 or charging $6,000 or charging above 10K or 15 or 18 or whatever that number looks like that you're, you know, going towards in your company. When it starts to feel normal for you and you can talk about it with confidence on your sales calls, that energy shift is so powerful. And yeah, you're going to get more rejections when you raise your prices. It's just a normal type of thing, but you're also going to receive so much more profitability on such fewer work. And that it changes everything. It changed my business, changed your business, changed so many people's businesses that I've worked with in ManyMind, and even people that, you know, have just kind of gone down that journey on their own. So it's powerful. So, you know, our encouragement to any of you guys listening, if you're thinking, oh, I can't charge that, or my clients won't pay that, or, you know, just all of these stories that we tell ourselves about what people are willing to charge, a lot of that is just coming from your own experience because you haven't converted a client at that level yet because you haven't asked for it. And so, you know, you don't want to just blindly raise your prices for no reason. Like, you want to make sure that the value is there for your clients. And that is definitely something that we go over in month three, where we talk all about sales and pricing and offer suite and just kind of like how to navigate that, how to tailor that to your specific audience. It's so transformational, and it was really cool to see everyone kind of work through those modules and talk about it in the group calls and talk about it in Voxer, because it's just so transformational for people's profitability and their revenue. And at the end of the day, yes, we're businesses, we're trying to balance work and life and everything, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to have your profit, or else, you know, your company is not supportive of your lifestyle, et cetera. So that was a lot, but I'm so passionate about this.
Which brings me to number four, was my back end. I remember being like,
yes,
I was like, I'm nauseous thinking about opening my laptop because I don't even, and also on your like intake questionnaire, I was like, what even is that? What, like a
I think I asked CRM. About a CRM.
Yeah. Now that's people, okay. Like, ask me about my process. They're like, whoa, like you have a portal and you have like your invoices and this and that. And I'm like, yep, Jen, you know.
So, it was really HoneyBook. I was like, girl, you got to get yourself set up with HoneyBook because, you know, you've got to have something. And, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. We talk about process a lot. We actually talked about client process in the last episode that I recorded with Danielle Joseph from Willow Space. But yeah, that's definitely a big part of the program as well. We go through process, and I think month four, talk about systems, talk about managing your finances. The program really is a comprehensive, like, start to finish guide on how I grew my business, how I got to where I'm at now in year five, and kind of like my own personal philosophies around business and what I've found to have worked in working with fewer clients at higher prices, shorter work day, mom life, or balancing things. I think we had half of the women in the program were moms, half were not. So it's pretty widely applicable. But yeah, thanks for sharing so much about your experience. And I would love to tell you guys listening that applications are currently live for round two of the ManyMind. This program I offer only once per year, and there are extremely limited spots. As of recording, I haven't decided how many designers I want to be in the program. Last time it was capped at 8, and I did have to select out of applicants, which was a dream come true for me. Thinking about potentially opening up two additional spots for the second round. So that would be a total of 10, but it is very limited. So even if you're like on the fence and you're like, oh, I can't decide, I highly recommend just applying. So then we can have some fun, you know, voice memo, DM conversations about your application to determine if this is going to be the thing that's going to make the impact that you're looking for in 2024. So just a couple of dates. Applications are open until November 19th, at which time they close, and will not open again until November 1st, 2024 for a 2025 start date. So if this is something you're thinking about, highly recommend applying. And the round two does begin the second week of January in 2024, and it runs for 6 months until the end of June 2024. So it's definitely like we go deep. You have one-to-one access to me through Voxer for the whole 6 months, which I think is my most favorite part of the program, and just insane value. You have a mentor in your pocket whenever you want to talk to me. I do my best to get back to you guys pretty quickly. And of course, there is the dripped out curriculum. There's really short bite-sized videos that everyone works through at the same time. Each month has a theme. We have group calls. You get 3 one-to-one calls with me throughout the program. And then you have your online community hosted in Circle. So if you guys are curious at all, you can go to helijunecreative.com/minimind to see everyone's testimonials, to see tons of screenshots from Voxer. If you're curious at all about, okay, but like what type of money are people making? What are the prices that people are charging? There are screenshots. Everything is anonymous, but you can see real numbers, real wins in there. And also non-financial wins that I think are probably some of the more even powerful wins that people aren't really anticipating receiving, but are their most the ones that they're most excited about at the end, like you were talking about boundaries, mindset, etc. So yeah, and if anyone has any questions about the program, feel free to DM me at HelloJuneCreative. The whole launch period, my DMs are open to anyone wanting to have a voice note conversation with me about where you're at in business. And even if you, you know, decide that it's not the right fit for you or you need to wait another year, I still welcome the opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with you to show you what it would be like in Voxer with me, but also to just give you guys some free, you know, advice and help on your design businesses. So there's my little pitch. And I would love to see anyone apply and say that they heard about, you know, the program from the podcast or that they've been listening for a little bit, because a lot of the women that joined were listeners before joining. So be in good company. So yeah, there we go. We're going to wrap up with our inbox question here. Katie Jane Anderson asks, how do you feel more confident in processes and strategy when you're self-taught? Miriam, do you have any advice here?
Yeah, totally. So I would even call myself self-taught in the branding area. I went to school for some basic graphic design, you know, but not extensive. So I think, you know, podcasts, courses, following people on social media, that's going to be your best friend. And I think you can gain so much from that. There are so many valuable courses out there, including the MiniMind. But for more practical design skills, there's tons out there also. And really just absorb knowledge. And I don't think you need a formal, you know, education in order to really do well in this industry. I think you just need to learn some basics about design and then just put your heart and soul in it and learn everything you can. And you will do amazing.
I love it. Confidence comes also with imperfect action. One of my favorite quotes, clarity comes from imperfect action. And that's so hard for, if you guys are like me, where you're very type A and you want everything to be perfect. And, you know, sometimes you just have to act and then evaluate, act and then evaluate, try a CRM, evaluate how it works. Try the one concept method, see how it works with your clients, do a certain process, get your feedback from your clients about how they experienced it. And over time, that confidence will build as you have more wins and you receive more positive feedback. So it's not something, unfortunately, that you can just push a button and then, hey, you're 100% confident. And I think there's no one out there who has reached level 100 confidence, because it's something that I'm always working on and that we're always working on and becoming better at and growing and strengthening. And some things will ding your confidence and you'll kind of take a step back and then you'll take two steps forward and then maybe three steps back and five steps forward. And it's not a linear direction, but like Miriam said, just keep at it and it will grow over time. Yeah. Amazing. Well, tell our listeners where they can find you. I know you have a book club for brand designers and would love to send some people your way.
For sure. So you can follow us at The Branding Book Club on Instagram, and we go through all different business / design related branding books. You don't have to be a designer to join, just any kind of business owner. And it's a really fun community. We have a meeting once every few months just to go over the book, and it's a great way to get yourself reading all those books that are just sitting on your shelf. And then you can also join my close friends list at Miriam Noble Design, or find me on my website, miriamnoble.com, which is in need of great renovations, which will be happening soon.
By the time this goes live, it will probably be up to date, assuming everything went great with your delivery and your new baby.
Yes, please God.
Yes. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today. Loved getting to chat everything with you. I feel like we covered so many different types of topics, so this will be really great for anyone listening who wants to dive into motherhood or, you know, process or boundaries, etc. And thank you so much for being so bold about your faith and sharing about that as well. So we will see you guys next week, and bye to Miriam.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Of course. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening. Hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode, leave a review, join our free Facebook community, and share the pod with your designer friends so that they can join the fun. Give me a shout on Instagram at BetterPodcast if you want to submit an inbox question, and visit the pod at betterbranddesigner.com to learn more and snag discounts on my favorite resources. See you next week.